Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches.
Welcome to Baroque Bitches, your art, history, gossip
podcast.
My name is Chelsea.
I'm Raquel.
And we are going to give you some art with a side of tea.
Yeah. Ooh, it's hot today. Steeping hot.
Very steamy episode. Disclaimer, this one is not for your kids.
Ooh, I don't think any of them are for your kids.
None of them are for your kids, but definitely put them away.
Yeah, if you're playing this for your, like, young children, like,
No, please.
But, I mean, you know.
If kids are listening, like, without, you're cool.
Maybe
they'll be fine. But don't listen to it with your kids just because it's going to be awkward.
Don't bond over Baroque Bitches with your kids.
Be awkward.
Unless they're your adult children, please.
Even so, this one might be awkward.
Yeah, I heard that, what was that movie, Oppenheimer, had like a 15-minute long sex scene.
15 minutes?
I think I heard it was like, like, maybe that's an exaggeration. I didn't see it. I have two young kids. I just saw the Barbie movie for the first time.
I haven't even seen the Barbie movie yet.
Holy shit, dude. Let me tell you, it's on HBO, and I bawled my eyes out unexpectedly to America Ferrera's monologue.
Oh.
I didn't realize how much I needed to hear that. So,
I gotta see it.
Yeah, Fabian was telling me that was like the reaction from a lot of women, because you kind of expect it to be like a light comedy, but it's just so embedded with so much loaded meaning. And she talks about the female experience in a way that just like, It explains it perfectly, and I related to it so hard. And he looked at me, and he's like, "Yeah, men are terrible. Sorry, you are terrible.
You're kind."
But yes, go see it. It's great. I really liked it. But don't be tired when you watch it, because I had to watch it twice. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh,
yeah. I fell asleep the first time.
Well, how's the kids?
Oh, dude. So this has been such a fun week. So my son and myself and my husband, we're all autistic. And what that means for my son is that he has some, like, auditory processing. Loud sounds will hurt his ears. But recently, he's finally gotten into music. But he fucking loves Rancid.
Okay.
Yeah, Ruby Soho. So in the bathroom, he's like, "Oh, I hear Rancid, Ruby Soho, and like Red Hot Chili Peppers and The Hives." And he's just like, he's gearing up to be the punk rock kid that I always wanted to raise. It's just baby steps through the more, like, you know, commercial first, I guess. But I'm so excited because he's finally at this stage where we're like enjoying music together.
Maybe a little Blink 182 too.
Oh my God. I know. But then that's so funny that you say that, because Blink 182 came on. And I forget what song it was, but I was like, this is not, I can't let him listen to this yet. Like, I gotta turn it off.
It's raunchy. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, how's your week going? How are the kids?
They're fine. My class is growing, so it's getting a little crazy. And I know a couple of students listen, so hi guys. But yeah, and in California right now, if you're in Southern California, you're all freaked out because it's raining a lot. We got a leak in the ceiling, like that kind of shit. It's just been piling.
Oh, no.
It's
been raining in Southern California.
And we don't know what to do. Whenever someone, LA people, Angelinos, don't know how to drive in there. That's me. I don't know how to drive in the rain. I'm clenched. Well, the whole
listen,
time.
The roads are not built for that kind of rain down there. So it floods pretty
it's
easy.
It's flooding a little bit.
Yeah. But the sun will shine again.
Yeah. And like, it is definitely like you got all the people, like probably like yourself, but all the people in normal states are like, rain. And it is like, it is a little bit of rain. And I'm depressed about it. I'm all sad. And it's like, it's been raining for 3 days and I can't handle this anymore, that kind of thing. And they're like, boo, Southern California, stupid.
Dude, you wouldn't last a second here. Don't move here.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
No, but it's different here. It's different here because in Southern California, there's nowhere for the rain to absorb because it's all concrete.
They don't have good drainage.
And here... Well, they don't have the drainage, but here the ground is so absorbent. So it could rain buckets and it'll be gone in like an hour. But there it's like the rain, the I feel like the soil's like all clay and shit.
There's not.
So it can't.
Especially in my area. Is scary. I live in the valley, so there's no soil. It's just concrete.
No.
It is. Yeah. Jungle. And it is.
Y'all gonna be all right.
I'll be okay. It's supposed to stop it on Wednesday when this comes out. So hopefully I'll be all happy and sunny by the time you guys are hearing this. But.
Yeah, dude. This one sounds like it's gonna be gnarly. I was seeing. The photos posted on Instagram and I was like, wait, what is Chelsea doing? I don't know. This looks fun.
This one is a hot one. This one, it took a lot of research, you guys. I will have a couple of disclaimers throughout the entire thing. So I did my best. But if you're ready, we can visualize and I'll take you on a little journey.
Let's go. I'm ready.
Okay, let's begin. Take a full, deep breath in and out. In, out. In, out. Let your mind know it's time to come inside. Away from outside thoughts, away from outside plans, away from outside tasks. Breathe in and out. Slowly focus on only breathing and allow it to slow your mind. Imagining the layers of your day peeling away from you with every breath. Peeling away and out into the cosmos. Let the universe take care of them. Let go of responsibilities. Let go of expectations, and they peel away one by one with each breath. Feel yourself lighten, unclench your jaw, unfurrow your brow. Your body is now floating in space. Now, connect to the fiery sexual energy inside of you. The glowing vibrations of sexual pleasure waiting to be expressed. Remind yourself that you are safe, you are worthy, and ready. Feel the warmth between your legs. Invite that gentle and loving energy to spread throughout your entire body. As your attention remains here, far away from the outside, you are one with the warm,
and gentle flame flickering deep inside of you, ready to emerge. Namaste. Now that you are ready, let's get into our gossip topic, India. Let your sacred freak flag fly.
Yes, dude. Okay. Take me back.
Yes.
Little, I almost fell asleep. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, little guided meditation. So, yes, after that title, I want to give you y'all another disclaimer. Yeah, the first one, not for kids. Second one, listeners, I want to acknowledge that I am not Hindu and I do not claim to be an expert in Hindu traditions.
No.
No.
Or anything.
Or anything. Oh my God.
Yeah. No. That's not what you're here for. Come on.
However, I have been fascinated by the Khajuraho temples, which we'll be talking about today, for some time, but I've only truly been researching this subject for a couple of weeks. So yeah. I approach this with respect and a desire to learn, but please understand that my perspective may be limited. So basically, a white lady, a white with an H.
Right.
And this white lady does welcome feedback and corrections from those more knowledgeable on the subject. So you can DM me.
Yeah.
And I will make necessary corrections or clarifications in our next following episode.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. So. I mean, and listen, we know that white women are like notoriously horrible, but we pride ourselves in not perpetuating that side of culture.
We don't identify with those other white people.
No.
So we are totally open to corrections, which I'm sure there's going to be corrections. Yeah. There is a lot on this subject, basically, of Hinduism.
Yeah. So it can get loaded in a way that, like, you know, when we're talking about Christianity, like, that's embedded into white culture. When we're talking about other religions, we know that's kind of outside of our realm. But we're here to learn. Yes. We're all growth mindset.
Yeah.
And we want to remind that we love you.
Love you.
Love you. And we mean no disrespect.
We love you all. Yes, we love you
all. We love you all. We love you so much. Thanks for being here.
When it comes
to... We're just trying to learn.
Yes. When it comes to Christianity in this episode, however, fucking balls to the wall, baby. I don't give a shit about talking shit about Christians. So, but we'll get into all of that soon.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
Okay, disclaimer gone. Ugh, I don't want to offend anybody, y'all. I'm doing my best.
Yeah, we're just out here doing our best. But... I mean, and with every episode, like, we're here to present. We're not reinventing the wheel here. We're trying to give you a little history lesson in a fun way. We're doing here. We're just having a good time.
These things are really
have a drink.
Fun.
Relax.
Yeah.
Have fun. Laugh when you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So today we will be talking about the Khajuraho temples and their relation to the Kama Sutra and ancient Hindu sexual practices.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
Ancient. Okay. Okay. Not that side. The Khajuraho temples are a complex of Hindu and Jain monuments in the large central state of Madhya Pradesh, India. And it is a World Heritage Site. And then most of them, they're fucking old, dude. So most of them were built between 950 and 1050 AD.
Wow.
And they're from the Shandala Dynasty.
Okay.
So the Shandala Dynasty was known for their art and architecture and like a bunch of other stuff, but their art and architecture
is what we're going to focus on. Right?
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. And the Khajuraho temples are popular for their very erotic, hardcore sex statue scenes covering the temples. And I'm talking thousands of statues getting freaky, including sex between humans, gods, animals, etc.
Fuck yeah, dude.
So, and this is what everyone doesn't like. The Khajuraho complex of temples don't just depict erotic scenes. They also show scenes of everyday life, like people making artwork and farming, playing music.
So they're like, don't look at the naughty naughties. Yeah. Just they're like, no, focus on the
only a small no, amount it's... are sexual. But who cares about fucking farming when you got some hardcore erotic shit going on? So that's obviously what we're gonna focus on because we're gross.
Hell yeah. Oh, come on. I don't care about the boring
farming?
Stuff. Yeah, I get it.
I don't give
people
a shit.
Did their dishes back in the day too. But I wanna know about the weird sex stuff.
Yes, and there's some pretty weird sex stuff on these things. So there are
Dude, ancient people were fucking were fucking
yeah,
wild.
So take notes, y'all. So there are several sets of monumental temples in India that display erotic sculptures, but the Khajuraho temples are just the most notable ones for right now. So right. Why were these temples built? So here's a fun legend. So, and this is the short version, you guys. Okay. A long ass time ago, this fucking hottie Hemvati, she was the daughter of a high priest. So she bathes one night in a pond full of lotus flowers.
Oh, so, that's hot.
So hot. I want to do
that. That sounds nice. I want to do that.
We're going to eat lotus flowers.
Pond. Lotus flowers. That sounds lovely.
Okay. So this babe is so fucking hot that the moon sees her and is like, damn. So, yeah. So the moon comes down to Earth. They fuck. Yeah, she fucks the moon, this bitch.
What?
She's the bitch. So she's the one. She's the prototype. So the moon ended up knocking her up because the fucking moon, he's going to knock her
Whoa,
up.
Whoa, my God.
And she's a daughter of a priest, so the whole kid out of wedlock thing is kind of a no-no, just like for every fucking culture. So the moon was like, it's cool, it's cool, it's cool. Regardless of this wedlock situation, I will make sure that your kid will be a powerful king, but you got to do some shit for me. So she was
What?
Told,
she's already having your fucking baby, dude. Okay?
She ain't no longer your half moon baby. So,
I made my husband do so many things for me to have his children. So
she was told to build all these temples covered in sculptures depicting scenes from life. And we will get into the meaning of life, as well as erotic sculptures, like supremely erotic fucking sculptures. And the purpose of this is to liberate women from the stigma of sex outside of marriage. And the moon was like, the sex and kids out of wedlock shit is annoying anyway, so people should know. So
that's I love that. That's dude, like liberating.
Yes.
Damn, it was woke. It was way woke in ancient times.
Wow. So what happened? The moon didn't lie, and her kid became the great king Chandravarman, who founded the Chandala dynasty. So this half moon god kid is so strong that he could kill lions and tigers with his bare hands.
Oh,
so Chandravarman was also to build many erotic temples for his mom. For his mom. But he really wanted
that,
this, like...
I just can say with full confidence, I never want my son to give me that.
It's cool. Okay. Yeah, he really wanted this sex is cool for everyone, even non-married people, to be, like, a cool thing. So that's the short version, you guys. So I'd love to get more into ancient Indian mythologies at some point because they're 1.5 hours. Like, all of them are just, like, fucking drama.
Damn, that's a good one. The sun came down and fucked a lady, and then they had
she's
that is
hot.
Amazing.
She's attracting the moon, like badass bitch. All right,
I just like getting a funny visual of a woman having sex with the moon.
Yeah,
like what does that look like, and what phase was the moon in?
Does he
like,
come
was it
down
a ball?
As a different?
Was it a crescent situation
a
with a ding a ding? A boing-oing on the crescent.
Yeah, maybe that. So back in the day, there were 85 Khajuraho temples.
Wow.
There was a lot. Yeah. But you know, war happened. And yeah. I'm not going to get too far into war stuff because there's a
you
fucking
know we don't like
lot,
it, but
dude. But boring. War did happen. And central India was seized by the Delhi Sultanate, which is the Islamic Empire. and many of the temples were destroyed. Today, there are only 22 Damn. Temples left.
Damn.
Yeah, and they're like in different disarrays of reconstruction and disintegration.
Preserved.
Yeah, right. So things are happening over there to try to preserve these temples.
Good.
Yes, yeah. So this
I can't believe they're still around.
They're still around.
How many years old is that?
All this time. So about 1000 AD. So
I'm so bad at like, is that that's just about 1000 to 2000?
Yeah. A little over 1000 years old. So they're very, very old. And 22 okay. temples left. So a lot of them did get destroyed in different wars, lots of territorial issues, religious sure. issues.
It was a lot blah, happening blah, 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 back then.
Yeah. I mean, there's Everybody's a lot happening like, now with that,
no,
too.
No, my religion's right.
My religion.
No, your religion's I'm before them. My religion's the best religion.
Yes. Yeah. So that does bring us to religion. So I know I'm really going to try hard not to rant too much on religion. But if you've been listening, you know that I'm not too keen on Christianity as an organized religion specifically.
Yeah.
However, the religions or ways of life that these temples are based on are actually really cool, and Christians should take notes. So the religions that these monuments are founded under are Hinduism and Jainism. Okay. And these aren't necessarily considered religions to a lot of people. They are considered more ways of life. But mm-hmm. our shallow Western minds, we just have to call it a religion.
It's just a way for us to compartmentalize and like understand, yeah, I guess, yeah. right?
We're not as enlightened, so we're shallow, but we're gonna try our best. So, both religions are real big on nonviolence, charity,
okay,
and basically like being good, like being good morals, okay.
Right?
Yeah, like Jesus, right? Since he did,
but
travel.
I feel like all religions are kind of like that. To be
yes.
fair, like,
yeah,
we like, peace, love, but also this is mine.
Yeah, so this is just like Jesus's teachings, right? Since he did travel to India and study these religions, and there's proof of this trip anyway. That's another episode.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
I
would like to do a full episode on Jesus himself. I think that would be a good one.
Whatever.
What happened after he was born? What's the stuff in between the baby Jesus and when the Jesus died? What's the stuff in between? Yeah,
I just stopped listening in religious ed class. I really did. In catechism, I was like, okay, I'm going to check out here. But
yeah, they don't tell you everything. So, no. Yes, I would like to do a full. This isn't about Christianity, it's about Hinduism. But
Sorry.
Anyway,
reel it back.
I'll give you the basic vibe of these religions. So okay. both religions believe in reincarnation and that mm-hmm. the spiritual goal is to become liberated from the cycle of rebirth to achieve basically enlightenment.
Nice.
So these guys are known to be nonviolent and accepting of other faiths. Mm-hmm. The biggest difference is that Hindus believe in many forms of one God, while Jains do not believe in the concept of God as a creator of the universe. Oh my God, they might be onto
something. Okay, whoa.
And both of these religions are some of the oldest religions known, both 4,000 to 5,000 years old. Jainism being the oldest, so 5,000 years old. And
wow.
there's something with this whole there's no God thing.
Is that kind of what it is? Like no God or no creator? Like
they do believe more in they're deeper than that of this whole God thing of like, there's
okay.
really, it's just about the universe. There's no creator of the universe. That's a shallow way to look at things. That's bringing the ego into what life is about. So,
oh, interesting. I mean, yeah because like, religion can be like, you know, to make us feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And right. they do believe in karma. And they do believe in being just generally very, very good to your brother, being good to animals. They don't even eat meat, these people. They're like, they're that nonviolent. So,
God, I love it. Maybe I'm a Jainist.
Yeah. Yeah. Jainism. Yeah. You're a Jain.
I'm a Jane. I can do that.
Yeah. So they're really cool. So let's get into what these temples look like. So they're made from sandstone with a granite foundation, and supposedly it took 100 years to construct them to completion.
Oh my God.
Yes. Remember those 85 fucking long of these. Ass time. Yeah, there are 85 of these things, and they're fucking huge. And they're covered in little relief statues of people, gods, animals, symbols, patterns, maximalism.
Nice. Yeah. It's like Baroque of the ancient time.
For sure. Yeah, they would have really vibed with Louis XIV for sure. And every design and pattern and placement of the statues contain a significant message about Hindu life.
Cool.
So the largest of the temples still standing is 109 feet high and 60 feet wide. So these guys are pretty big.
That's
and
really tall.
They are dedicated to a few gods, including Shiva, Vishnu, and Ganesha. And a couple are dedicated to Jain spiritual leaders, since they really don't do the god thing.
Got it. Okay.
So
I like these Jains. I'm becoming one. I'm
yeah,
converting.
Let's do it. Fuck, they're yeah. very humble, so we have to like get rid of all of our stuff.
Oh, fuck. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, they're not capitalists.
Okay, I have my Stanley cup, and they just did another SNL on these. Stanley like, look at my cup. Big dumb cup. I got the big dumb cup.
I like it when she had the huge one. It's giant. Yes, yeah, we did. We do have to live a more humble life if we did want to
can
be
try.
In the Jain spiritual religion. But but I think we can learn from all these guys. So.
Yeah, we can always learn from each other. Too.
Yes, I mean. Yeah, of maybe thinking about them as we went before we buy that Stanley Cup.
what another layer. No, I think like this pod is about like having a growth mindset. Like we're, you know, 230 something, trying to expand our minds, trying to be a little bit know more about stuff. I think it's good.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there is something about from 20s to 30s is definitely 20s. I thought I knew everything. And then 30s was like, I know nothing.
I don't know anything.
God, I don't know anything.
But
I have to float in space.
Yeah. But I think like, you know, we're really trying to anchor ourselves here and take all that, those intentions we had in our 20s to do something good. Here,
yeah, so. Yeah, to be less selfish, because I was definitely very selfish in my 20s. I think I'm still selfish now. I'm still trying to figure it out. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Being a Jainist is making me question everything too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So let's talk about some of these Hindu gods, because there's a lot of them, and they're always changing and transitioning into different forms.
I love that. Just change whenever you want
to. Yeah, they're very fluid. So I'll give you the vibe of some of the popular gods. So we got Vishnu, who is a supreme being, god of preservation, god of time, a protector, and the one serving karma on a plate to these motherfuckers. So they'll get theirs. Don't worry about it. Vishnu gets creative with this karma shit, dude. So just wait. They'll get it. Okay, it's fine. Vishnu's got it.
Scary.
Yeah. Yes. So there are several depictions of what Vishnu looks like. And in his typical form, he's got blue skin, four arms.
That guy, yeah.
Yeah. Fashion and a half with hella jewelry, big ass crown. He's also a maximalist for show.
Yeah. Love it.
All about it. Yeah. He's really cool. And in one hand, he holds a conch shell. The spiraling conch shell represents the cycle of time. He also holds a constantly spiraling discus in another hand, which is a symbol of war. So broke and throw down at any time.
That's scary. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Karma will get
starting
you.
Starting to get a little scary. Scared of Vishnu.
Yes. Yeah, be afraid of Vishnu. And the other arm, he holds a mace, which is a symbol of authority, because he's one of the big guys. And in the last hand, he holds a lotus flower, which is a symbol of purity and transcendence.
Okay.
And he is usually with his lady, his equal, Lakshmi, which is the goddess of beauty, wealth, power, and all kinds of shit. She's also got four arms, two of which she holds lotus flowers. So the four arms thing is a common pattern for these gods because they represent the four purusharthas, or aspects of human life, which is dharma, Kama, Artha, and Moksha. So
okay.
Dharma is mortality and virtue. Fucking boring. Blah. And Kama is pleasure, which we
what is
into.
It? Kama?
Kama is pleasure.
Kama is pleasure. Yeah, ooh, desire, I like Kama.
And all the spicy stuff. And
Kama is Bacchus.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Kama, yeah. Bacchus was
hell vibe. Yeah.
Bacchus is definitely living his Kama. And Artha is wealth, and Moksha is liberation. And there are parts of the Khajuraho temples that depict scenes from all of these aspects of life. Of course, we're going to focus on Kama, the pleasure one, obviously.
Yeah, hell
gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
So, we like the pleasure.
We like the pleasure one.
Pleasuring you a lot.
I do want to get into Shiva, too, since he is the most popular god in Hinduism, arguably, oh my god. And he can be drama, and he definitely has a look, so let's get into him, since these temples are dedicated to him as well. So Shiva is the great destroyer and restorer. So he's good and bad. He's in control of the cycle of existence. He's like the life and death guy. He's the guy.
Okay, yeah.
And Shiva wears a lot of symbolic stuff too. He's super fly. He's got a cobra around his neck. Damn. Symbolizing, yeah, this guy. Symbolizing dope. The power he has over deadly creatures. And in Hinduism, snakes are also associated with reincarnation.
Okay.
He holds a trident, which represents the Trinity. So this number symbolizes creation, preservation, and destruction. So all the life stuff. Okay. And this dude is also very edgy. He is often depicted wearing a fucking crown of skulls because his death, even though it's inevitable, it does suck too. And he's the destroyer. Like, we get it. So he destroys things. And he's often shown riding a bull, which is a symbol of sexual energy and fertility.
Damn, this guy sounds hella metal.
Dude, he's super fucking metal. Oh my god. And he is riding this bull, showing that he's in control of his sexual impulses.
Damn. Okay, that's not a man.
Dude, yeah. Shiva takes on different genders.
Oh, well, that is appropriate then. Yes, wow, that's awesome.
So sometimes he's a guy, sometimes she's a girl, and sometimes they're a little of both. A true they. So I think this might be a good leeway into some gender stuff and ancient Indian sex practices and some good old-fashioned homosexuality.
Hell yeah.
Because it is old-fashioned, y'all. It's not a trend. It's been here forever.
Forever. Oh my god. Oh, get over it. Oh my god. So in all ancient cultures, I feel like there is third gender, sometimes, you know, like there's gender fluidity present, there's homosexuality, there's all everything. Like, it's all there. Like, this has always been around. You guys need to get over yourselves and trying to, like.
Now, guys.
No.
Yeah.
It's so. Because it's natural.
It is 100% natural, yes. And the LGBTQIA+ people have been recorded in ancient Indian history. And they've been recorded throughout all of history, fucking duh. But the Hindus, everywhere.
Everywhere,
they're around.
But we have nothing to prove to you people that don't believe it. Like, just go fuck off or get with it already.
Or, like, maybe look at yourself a little bit. Yeah. Why are you so mad about it?
Why do you care? So mad about
it? Look at yourself. Look in the mirror. Okay. Okay. Hindus and Jains were not homophobic up until the introduction of Islam and Christianity. Mm. Wah, wah. In the medieval period. Bummer. So I do have to rant a little bit because they can't fucking help it. So neither the Prophet Muhammad or Jesus say anything about homosexuality being bad. both prophets are all about charity and forgiveness and stuff. And they might have actually hung out too. So don't freak out.
Don't freak out. Don't freak out.
They might have been buddies. Anyway, we're in Hinduism. We're in Hinduism. Okay.
We're in Hinduism.
So the Kama Sutra, which we'll get into more. We know a little bit about.
Can't wait. Trying to know.
We know a little bit about it though, right?
It's the sex book.
It's the sex manual, right? Well, that's the simple description. So the Kama Sutra does recognize same-sex relationships, and many Hindu texts have portrayed homosexual experiences as joyful and natural. And ancient Hindus also have the idea of a third gender. So this third gender is actually recorded in Hindu, Jain, and Buddhist medical texts. This third gender is related to intersex or gender fluid identity, like many of the Hindu gods. And the third gender also relates to transgender, homosexual, bisexual, or asexual people, queer people, queer guys. And this third gender people, these third gender people are actually seen in some aspects of Hindu culture as semi-divine. So ancient times ancient fucking times people, fucking get with it.
Damn. I'm sorry. Yeah, right? Like, and I feel like that would have been the time to be alive then for...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they were not.
But we're getting there. We're bringing it back, right?
Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely.
Yes. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some Hindu texts that condemn homosexuality, but mostly for monks or upper class religious leaders as like a moral obligation to try to avoid really any kind of sexual act, which includes heterosexual acts as well. So it's like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. Mm. So in current times, unfortunately, the members of the LGBTQI+ community in India are just now seeing a couple of rites. Yeah. Okay. So the Kama Sutra, I mean, the statues on these temples are like pretty much illustrations of this book. But as you are looking at some of these statues, you might be like, dude, I can't fucking bend like that. I for sure can't. And this is basically sex yoga. So stretching is important. So the connections.
You gotta prepare. You gotta get ready for it.
Yeah, stretch before.
You can't just dive right in. You gotta warm up.
The connections between Kama and yoga are continuously being debated. So yoga is basically meant to free the mind while tantrics bind the mind with desire. So the word tantra, the whole tantric sex thing that's in the Kama Sutra, the word tantra means woven together. And tantric sex is a way to weave physical bodies in order to become intimately and spiritually connected to another being. So tantric sex might look similar to yoga, but both practices are meant for different spiritual purposes and liberation. So one gets you hooked on with desire stuff, and one gets you hooked on with the sexual the mindful liberation type of stuff. So what is the Kama Sutra for? So remember the four aspects of life in Hinduism. Kama being the pleasure one, and sutra is related to teachings, or is translated to teachings. So the literal translation of Kama Sutra is the teachings on desire. So yes, and this book is a guide on obtaining sexual and emotional fulfillment in one's life. It is not just freaky sex positions. It is a guidebook on overall righteousness and prosperity in life. So the current Kama Sutra has 36 chapters organized into 7 parts. These teachings include and are not limited to how to get a wife or wives, different types of kissing, biting, slapping, moaning.
Oh my God.
Dude, it gets gnarly. Different sexual positions, oral, self-pleasure, and some unexpected things like how to maintain a friendship with a former lover. And even
money-making
tips and stuff like that. So it's basically a life book, really.
Yeah.
With some freaky shit in there, too. So, which is a part of life is freaky shit. Fine.
Yeah, life is freaky as fuck.
Yes, and it gets even freakier. So there's also stuff in the old texts on how to cheat properly, how to lure same-sex partners, zoophilia.
Oh my God.
Wait. Yeah. So the Kama Sutra has been revised many times, just like the Bible and all other spiritual texts to fit current sensibilities. So Some say that the current version of the Kama Sutra is only a fraction of the teachings it used to have.
And other people are like, forget about the original. It never happened. Don't worry about it. No. What are you talking about? Nothing. What?
Yeah.
No, we never did that. Come on.
So you'll see scenes of same-sex relations on the Kajuraho temples, like men jacking each other off,
nice.
Women fondling each other, all kinds of shit. Fucking trains being ran on a bitch. God's
what?
Fucking trains. Full trains being ran on a bitch. So people lining up. And God's...
Oh. Okay. I went literal with that, like a train. And I was like, do they have trains back then?
They probably wouldn't call it a train.
No, like a sex train.
Sex train.
Okay, got it.
Get on board. Okay. Choo choo.
Choo choo. Choo choo.
All aboard.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Oh my gosh. God's fucking humans, bitches hoisting other bitches up on a dick, like all kinds of crazy shit. People masturbating, people watching other people fucking and they're masturbating, people waiting their turns because you gotta fuck this one first and I'm next. So,
oh my god, it's like ancient porn.
It is hardcore. So, and even some bestiality.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know.
So ancient Hindus accept that humans can have fantasies about animals, but it is frowned upon. So there is one set of statues that create a narrative that there was a woman that was fucking a bull, or like getting fucked by a bull, I guess. And the king found out. She was summoned to see him, and he said, like, girl, you don't want to do all that.
No.
So it is shown on the temples and talked about in earlier Kama Sutra texts, but it is kind of like a faux pas. Like, you don't really want to be doing that.
I would think that it was like, okay,
that's a little too
anatomically
freaky.
Like, I just don't know. Like, you might get really hurt.
Especially, too, they're supposed to be very nonviolent. So they're like, that's not really cool.
Yeah, because, like, it's, like, violence on the animal.
It's animal abuse. Yeah.
Hardcore. Yeah. Not natural. I don't think they're, like, hopping on board to do that with you.
No. Yeah, that was not seen as necessarily natural. But fantasies were, like... Okay.
We'll honor that you have the fantasy.
Whatever you want.
We'll put it on the statue.
We'll put it
just
on
like
the
leave
temple.
The bulls alone, okay? Like
oh my god. Yeah, so a lot of these statues are super fun. I'm going to try. I did get flagged on TikTok, but I'm going to try to put some of them up and like blur some things, but some of them will be up on.
You got flagged on TikTok.
I did get flagged on TikTok, even though I'm just like, they're old ass statues.
Dude, it's art. Come How on. Can you like come on. It's
they're
not porn.
Crumbling. But <It's> like, it is pretty hardcore.
they look like, I mean, they're reliefs, but it looks like when you make a bundt cake and you take it off and it's kind of crumbled a little bit.
Yeah.
Because that's the state that they're in.
They're
it's not the perfect edge that you want. It's the like, oh fuck, I fucked my bundt cake up. Like that's kind of how they look a little bit.
I haven't been flagged on Insta yet, but I have been kind of covering some parts. So I'm going to throw a couple of those up on Instagram, baroque.b.podcast. So check those out. But we can cycle into polyamorous relationships, polygamy. Yeah, since the statues on the Kajuraho temples often depict orgy types of situations with usually multiple women being involved with one man. So, So,
I mean, but also like, yay, but not for the dude. I don't know.
Well, we'll get into some of this stuff too. So, of the actual gender roles that are going on in ancient times. Okay. So polygamy is outlawed in India currently, but sure. It was
and that's everywhere. Fine. Right?
Yeah, except that's Utah, fine.
Maybe.
Yeah, but it was somewhat common for a man of importance to have several wives. And that's because only a wealthy man can provide for several wives.
Got
so,
it.
Okay. So it's like, okay, if you can afford all these bitches, then fine.
Then you can have them.
Yeah, and it was very strict. It was very strict to like, okay, do you think you can take on another wife? Well, we'll have to see, are you that important to have more than one? So it was definitely like a status symbol. There was a hierarchy sure. of like how many wives you could have based on your status in society. So sometimes
I like
it was...
that, I guess. I don't know. I'm still up in arms a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Sister Wives has kind of ruined it for me because Cody yeah. went dark and, ugh. Yeah. God.
Oh, wow.
Total narcissist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. Yeah. Ruined it for everybody.
I love that shit, too.
I fucking love
I'm
that
so
show.
I'm so glad oh, they all God. Left. Oh, my gosh. And I know. Now we just have Robin and she's crazy.
Weepy but, lady.
Yeah. Anyway, so sometimes Sorry. It's okay. I love talking about Sister Wives.
I knew I wasn't going to get through it without talking about Sister Wives.
Oh, for sure. So, sometimes it was acceptable for a regular guy to get another wife after a few years because if they can't produce kids, fucking
Got
whatever, because
it.
It's the woman's fault.
Okay. Of course.
But in the Kama Sutra, monogamy is the dominant form of conjugal relationships because it is believed that a man can only truly satisfy one partner physically, spiritually, and emotionally. So it's like, listen, these bitches lining up.
I know that fulfilling. You think that your dick is magic, but listen, you're only going to be really good at pleasing one lady.
Maybe. Now, there is a little bit of evidence of polyandry in Hindu society and on these temples. So where a woman has multiple husbands. Even though it was very rare and only accepted in certain communities. Now we can get into the role of women in ancient Hindu society. So this one is really hard to figure out because there are many different communities that the patriarchy has infiltrated in different ways. So let's just say that one end of the binary is that women are only to serve their husbands and have kids. Yeah, every patriarchal society loves that one.
I literally just vomited in my mouth a little bit. Yeah.
Everybody loves that one. Every patriarchal society likes that. But the other end is that women are empowered and have various forms of feminine, and the various forms of the feminine are actually worshipped, which I think relates more to the Kama Sutra in that women deserve every aspect of life, including sexual pleasure, and aren't written about, they're never written about just as like vessels for male pleasure and procreation, like they right. often are in the Bible. So, I mean, the Kama Sutra does instruct, like, for example, instruct the husband how to get his lady wet, and that just doesn't sound like a completely patriarchal society to me.
No. And, like, if we're, you know, we're not here to say what's right and what's not. Like, we're not trying to be the authority on anything. Like, I think, but we're always going to be here for the ladies. Come on.
For like, sure.
We have to be.
The Baroque bitches.
If, yeah. We're and if there's the anything bitches. We learned from Barbie, which I know you haven't seen it yet, Chelsea.
I'm sure all of our other listeners have seen it.
It's actually probably true. But if there's anything we learned from Barbie, it's obviously that, like, women have it really fucking hard, and we're always going to need to side with our girlies. And if you're men, you should too, fuckers.
For sure. Yeah. Be an ally.
Be an ally.
And
be a feminist.
So it is shown on these temples, even though men are often depicted with several women, it seems like women are experiencing equal amounts of sexual gratification.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And in the
Well, that's not in, real life, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely. Of like, who's really building this? Are they all that happy about all this? But you do see things. I saw one where it's like, and it had to be explained to me, like, from a guy on YouTube, of this. this one set of statues depicts a story of a man fucking his one wife, and then the other wife is in the corner fucking crying. Like, she's jealous.
Yeah, because that sucks. That you know, sucks. For most people.
That's not gratifying.
Listen, if you're polyamorous, like, power to you. Dude, amazing. Like, not knocking it.
Yeah.
But I think there's a difference between polyamory and polygamy, right?
Totally. Like, yeah.
You know, like multiple wives and like a kind of subservient perspective of like the wife is meant to serve me versus like we're meant to be in agreeance all together.
Yeah. And I think too there is a lot of relationships where sex is not a group situation for the most part, I think.
Right.
That's like, you have fun with your boyfriend.
Right.
I'll be in a totally another area of the world.
I'm fine with you doing it. I don't need to be in the same room with you.
Yeah.
I don't need to witness it.
And I'm sure there's many other polyamorous couples that do like to get freaky, but
that all have sex together. But I do think that
there's
a lot of those relationships are not like about threesomes all the time. I think it's about like intimate
100%
one-on-one relationships.
100%. I mean,
obviously, this world has so many fucking people in it. Everybody's doing a different thing.
For sure. There's something for everybody.
There's something for everybody,
but
you know?
When it comes to that threesome situation, there's got to be that, like, crying in the corner type of situation that happens a lot.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And the guy's just like, yeah, baby, just, you know, don't worry about it.
I could please you both. And it's like, no, you can't, because what happens when you're inside this one? What are you really doing? Eating me out? And you're probably not out the full time. Like, I'm over here trying to like, okay. It's got to be awkward at some parts.
I just, for somebody who's a monogamist, yeah, it doesn't sound like a fucking cakewalk for me, but to each their own.
Yeah. So, the Kajuraho temples at the party. I think the Kajuraho temples would be the party, like that kind of party. So
Eyes Wide Shut?
I was thinking directly Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut.
But I did want to bring up, because this has been fascinating, something about this just like connected for me. So I've been super fascinated and have been following passengers on the infamous 9-month cruise it's called the Ultimate World Cruise. And if you don't know, it's a Royal Caribbean cruise around the world. And it's like you're
a
on
sex
this
cruise?
Well, so it's this Royal Caribbean cruise around the world. So you basically go around the world for 9 months, and it costs anywhere from 60 grand to 100 grand for passenger. And apparently there's already it like departed in November or December or something, and apparently there's already hella drama, and it's just amazing. Like, there's all these influencers that take hella cruises and shit that are on the boat and are like recording their experiences of like all this shit happening. Like, overall, it's horrible.
It's like too hot to handle.
Obviously, it's horrible. The boat is like missing like dock schedules because of weather and stuff. So they're like trapped on this fucking boat.
Oh my God.
And there's all this drama and there's hierarchies being formed between the 9-month passengers and the passengers that are just doing like a section of the cruise. Cause you can buy tickets now. It used to not be this way. It used to be like you can only buy the fucking $60,000 ticket, but they weren't selling enough tickets because obviously that's hardcore.
Way too. Wait, so is it like
that?
A sex cruise though?
It's not a sex cruise.
Okay.
It's a regular cruise. But there's this whole pineapple situation.
Oh, yeah, I've heard. So the pineapples and the upside down and the flamingos. Okay.
So a lot of the passengers will decorate their cabin doors like real summer campy vibes. So, but if you see an upside down picture of a pineapple on your cabin door or on someone else's cabin door, you know that's like a swinger signal.
Okay.
So this one lady, she did not realize this. And she just really likes pineapples. Because she's like traveling around. She's like this old lady. She likes pineapples. She's like, I got pineapple earrings. She actually had to make a statement because she follows all these people. There's like a full Facebook group and everything. And there's all this drama with these fucking Facebook groups, apparently, of who's getting let into what Facebook group. All these Facebook groups are being formed. And she's seeing like her cabin door being featured and saying, this lady a swinger? So like, because there's pineapples everywhere. And so she had to address it of like, listen, I have pineapple earrings. I have a pineapple necklace. I got a pineapple shawl. Like, I just really like pineapples. Like, I am not
they're
a
tropical.
Swinger.
I'm trying to live my like tropical islander life.
Island life, you know? This poor old lady. But it is like, if you have a picture of a pineapple that's upside down, apparently it has to be upside down on your door, that's like a signal of like, we're down. And so obviously, I think there has been some pineapple situations on the boat. And obviously, people are probably getting weird on this trip around the world.
Freaky dinky.
I mean, yeah. Why else are you traveling with hella people for 9 months without wanting to get weird? So
I mean, there are still like sex clubs and situations.
There's like
that
sex
you can
cruises
go to.
For sure. Like there's like swinger sex cruises that you can go on and like have fun.
I think what we can learn from this episode is that like I think sexuality and depravity like kind of get confused by people because of modern day religion.
Yeah.
So I don't know about modern day Hinduism or, you know, in that regard. I just know like this my westernized viewpoint. But I think like pretty much a lot of people frown upon freedom and sexuality you know, being raised Catholic, my perspective is like to have this haunting shame that comes with sexuality. And so it's interesting, like whenever you look back to ancient times across many, many cultures, not just this one, you see this like kind of sexual freedom that happens, which I think is awesome. And I think it's like, you know, maybe it's kind of fun to think about, like, maybe in the past, ancient times, there was a situation where it got too emotional and maybe that, like, informed people not wanting this to happen now or, like, you know.
It was mainly, like, any kind of – whenever you see what happens in a lot of these different countries during the medieval times where – the Dark Ages or the Age of Faith comes around. So in India's perspective, it had a lot to do with the Islamic Empire and Christianity.
Right.
And keeping in mind, too, I lump them together because they're kind of the same fucking thing, you guys. They're the same book. It's the same book.
Well, I think religions, like, no matter what religion, always have a way of, like, harnessing their influence in war and to try and actually secure power in a way that doesn't actually speak to the religion.
Rather than following the prophet's teachings.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your piece and that happens across
like right. And that happens across like many, many different religions because it's just humanity, right? But I like this idea. Well, I don't like this idea, but I think it's kind of funny to think about like maybe, you know, a Karen saw her husband because she, you know, fucking one of his other 8 wives and had some like power in some way. Yeah. And then like it turns into like, no, I'm going to condemn this now.
I think
it influences it in that direction.
I definitely think it's like a control thing, mostly about the control of men over women, that women should not have any kind of sexual desire. Because if they did, that's way too fucking scary for them and their little penises to handle. that we like this stuff and maybe we would want to do this stuff with several different people.
And I think too,
it usually has to come down to men because this is the patriarch. And most of them, I think when it comes to the queer communities and how much some of these like, absolutely not, no gay stuff, no. And it's like, that's interesting. That you hate this so much.
That is really interesting.
I wonder why. I wonder why you hate this so much. And it's like, okay, because a lot of people hate what they don't understand. So if they're having special feelings that they don't understand, they're gonna turn that back around and say, no, absolutely not. I think I was watching it at a bar or something, but it was like this guy coming up after one of those horrific camps where they pray the gay away.
Oh my God.
And he clearly, baby, like you can tell, babe, it's okay, it's natural. And he's like, I love women now. I want to have sex with women now. I desire women now. And you're like, oh no. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's cool.
I hope he was just like doing a big show to get out of the camp.
Hopefully. Yeah. Because it's like, that's not going to work. No, that doesn't do anything.
Let me tell you, like, I think, you know, just remember everybody. It's natural. Get the fuck over it.
It's natural.
I guess find a little love in your heart. Do you know that song?
Yeah.
Find a little love in your
heart. And do as the...
Treat people how they want to be treated, not how you would like to be treated. Yeah. Go a step further than the golden rule, the platinum rule.
And get into some freaky shit, maybe. Who knows? You might like it.
Yeah, and also let your partner stick their finger up your butthole, whatever.
Dude, you're going to like it. dude. I know you don't think you're going to like it, but you're going to like it. You're just scared because you think you're going to like it too much.
I actually, I might be a little scared of that.
We love you.
Okay, a few things, though, before we go there.
Yeah.
So... we're going to put something exciting we haven't done before. We're going to put a whole ass video up on Patreon. So if you're interested, go check out Patreon. Add a little star, Spotify, Apple, whatever, please.
All the links are in our bio on Instagram.
Links in bio.
Baroque.b.podcast. And check out our website, brokebpodcast.com. It has merch. We got stickers and links to our Patreon and just like other fun, cute stuff.
Yeah.
Duplications are coming soon. Duplications of some of the artists, progress
and
stuff.
More content. Me and Chelsea did do some role playing videos, which are just ridiculous, but you're going to love them. We do business. But yeah, and we have some other exciting projects with other podcasts that we'll post about soon too. We'll so go check those out.
We're making friends.
Oh, we have friends. Oh my God. We love it. All right, listen.
We love you.
Bye.